I'm Jesse Robertson from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and this is Alaska Voices, a place for communities to connect through conversation in order to build a better tomorrow for Alaskans and the world.
Originally, I grew up in Gakona, Alaska.
Tyonek.
Egypt.
Idaho.
Grand Pard.
St. Lawrence Island.
St. Paul.
And I'm here with my student.
My science buddy.
My teacher. My
homie. I'm his daughter.
My name is Jessica Guerin. I am 41 years old, and I'm at UAF talking with my mentor and friend, Elena.
I am Elena Bautista Sparrow. I am 74 years old, or young. And we are at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. And I'm talking to Jessica Guerin, who is my mentor.
Before today, did you know that you were one of my mentors?
I thought I was, but I wasn't going to claim it unless you. You know, I know because we've been friends. I mean, we've known each other a long time. In fact, I was delighted when you took over our study, our experimental oil spill study that we had conducted, one in the winter, one in the summer, and then there was a lag time, and then that was what you focused your thesis on. And I was delighted because I wanted to see what had happened, but we didn't have the resources to study it further. And I knew you would do a great job, and you did. You did a super job. And so I thought I was contributing something, you know, like my prior field site. But then also as you learned, you know, I was learning with you. And so it did seem like the mentor-mentee in the a different sense that some people might see it.
I think that what I've learned from you as a mentee is a lot about balance and imbalance, because when we first got to know each other was on the weekends or late at night.
Yes, yes.
When I was working in the lab on that experiment that you're talking about, and mostly you and I would meet on to and from the bathroom as we were racing back and forth. But not only did you conduct that initial experiment that I was following up 30 years later on, but I was seeing this woman PhD, there were not a lot of women PhDs in my life, who was working all night, who was writing grants, who was writing papers, who was married to another scientist who seemed to be like way more relaxed and not freaking out and stressed out as much as we were at the time. It was... Elena is doing it all. She's a member of her community. She's a mother. She's a wife. She's a scientist, and she's still going, and she's still going. Your stamina is inspirational, but yet, you know, alarming. You know, I think about you up at like 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night, when I'm up at 10 or 11 o'clock at night writing. And I'm like, oh, I know Elena's down in the valley writing. She's still awake too. And I think, you know, a lot of times like, well, you know, would Elena just say go to bed at this point or would she keep going? And I would think Elena would say go to bed, but Elena would keep going. And then I go to bed. But then just watching you move through your career in the, I guess it would be the about the 15 years that I've known you now, it's very comforting watching you continue to succeed and watching your scientific horizons expand. And I feel like your career trajectory has given me confidence to have a non-traditional scientific career as well. I have no intention of being a tenure-track scientist. I think there's a lot more science to learn and give that doesn't have to fall within the traditional confines of academia. And I think I learned that from you.
I had the opportunity to apply for tenure-track positions. And I told my husband and I said, no, I don't want to be in a tenure-track position. I don't want to have to write proposals. It's funny now because... what do I do? I mean, I write proposals and that's how I support myself through soft funding. It should be called hard funding because yeah. It's hard to find the money. But it's because I'm in a place where, you know, I'm invested in what I'm doing. I really like working with teachers. I really like working with students and inspiring them to become scientists themselves. And it's a different satisfaction that I get, not just from writing from journals, because that takes a while for that satisfaction, you know, if it's accepted. But when you see how excited the kids get, it's always been also a pleasure, my pleasure, when you come and help with all this outreach that I've been doing, and you're always so enthusiastic, and it inspires me back. So you see, I get inspired by my mentees like you. It's so heartwarming.
I'm glad I can help.
Yes. More than help. Yes, thank you. I'm grateful for you too.
So you've had a full career. What are you hoping your scientific legacy will be?
You know, if all my legacy is that I have produced one scientist, that's enough for me.
What I say to myself and what I say to my mentees, now that I have been mentoring for a while now myself, is don't waste the gift. You were given this life and these interests and these strengths, and it is your responsibility to make the best you that you can. Whether that best you is a scientist, a teacher, or an artist, it doesn't matter. It's your responsibility not to waste the gift. And if that person or self is going through a hard time, sometimes it's one foot in front of the other, one 15 minutes to the next 15 minutes, and things always look better after a good night's sleep and a good meal. But you'll get through this. You'll come through the other side. It will all work out one way or another. But don't waste the gift.
That's what my original mentor, which is my mom, always told us children. She said, you have been given gifts by God, and so you need to use those and not waste it. Same as what you said. So that really rang a chord in my heart. And we were poor because my mother was widowed twice and had to raise five kids. We were six kids, but one child died during when he was young, a baby. And so my mom said, I don't have lands to give you. The only land I have is where the flowers grow, in the flower pots. And so she said, but education I can give you. And so she worked really hard so that every peso she earned, she saved 10 centavos out of that. Because, you know, education wasn't free. She just made sure that we had food on the table and clothes to wear. She would sew our clothes so that we would have education. So that was my mentor, my original mentor, my mother.
Alaska Voices builds bridges by creating a space where community members, friends, policymakers, and scientists can share stories and place-based knowledge. This project was developed in partnership with StoryCorps and was funded by the Alaska Climate Adaptation Science Center. Additional funding was provided by the University of Alaska Fairbanks Chancellor through a generous gift from the Bentley Family Trust to the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Alaska Voices would not be possible without the help and efforts of an amazing group of people. Our producer and audio engineer is Kelsey Skonberg of Mossy Stone Media. Our podcast and outreach specialist is Mike DeLue. And our website designer is Carolyn Rosner. If you are interested in more conversations or information, please visit our website at alaskavoices.org.